Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And here we go. Another week, another show, another most scintillating hour in finance. I get a chuckle out of Darren every time we say that. It's that it's that self-promotion. That makes you a little uncomfortable, huh?
Oh, no, I think it is awfully scintillating.
Oh, what?
It's
look
the
at
word itself that strikes me.
Yeah.
Scintillating.
It's not the most, you know, off the shelf word, I guess you could say, the most common word.
I think it paints a good picture.
Well, there you got it. If we got Darren on board, as far as I'm concerned, that's gold. That's the gold standard. It's the gold. I mean, you're certainly the gold standard in the producing side. You know, no knock on Bo Snerdly, or Young Tom. We got the gold standard here, people. So now the flip side of that is, if it's a bad show, that's your fault, pal. It ain't mine.
Oh yeah, I'll take the fall for that.
Yeah.
but no worries, because you always bring it.
All right. Well, yeah. It's just what am I bringing, right? that varies. Okay. So hey, we got a great show planned for you. First and foremost, got a great interview. Didn't get to do a deep dive just because it's hard to do in this format, right? When we're only dealing with an hour. But have an interview with Todd Harrison, a guy that I really respect, that's doing great work in the medical marijuana wellness space. And Todd is a very credible guy. He's got a great track record, very much known in the finance industry. And he's pivoted completely to investing in the medical marijuana side of things because of the science, not because Todd is a reincarnation why am I blanking out on the, what was it, the guys with the smoke pouring out of the car, right? The
Cheech and Chong?
Cheech and Chong. Wait, oh man, it's been a long week. Whew. Yeah, but Cheech and Chong. Maybe I've been spending too much time with Cheech and Chong. That's why I can't remember any. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, this is not a Cheech and Chong type story. Obviously, that's part of the deal. And look, one of the reasons we're talking, I understand what radio station we're on here. Okay, I understand that probably not a lot of the listeners out there are big fans of marijuana. I get it. I wasn't either. I was in high school and I was an athlete. I was, you know, down on pot. Right? Up with hope, down with dope was a line we used. Anyway, the breakthroughs, right? Then there's some obvious disconnects where we're all totally inoculated and used to and numb to the ideas of, walking into the doctor or the dentist and just getting doled out heroin-based pain products. We all know about the opioid crisis. And then my just general mistrust of modern Western medicine in general. And again, that's not a slam to doctors out there. That's not a slam to anybody. But this gets into another topic, and I'm already going off the rails. We're not even 4 minutes in yet, and I'm just derailing here. But this filters right in to the financial side of it. And we've talked about it on the show before. But America is obsessed with the treatments of symptoms, right? Not the causes, not fixing things, masking things. And the fascinating thing to me about what's happening in the medical marijuana space is they're coming up with answers. And they're coming up with answers that aren't chemical based. And you can sell me on anything you want. But if we're deriving a treatment from a plant that occurs naturally versus some type of chemical compound, you know, that's 95% of what I need to know, right? You know, I mean, look at the opioid issue. Let's use that as a microcosm. When these pain pills first start coming out, it's a miracle drug. It's amazing. I think that's one of the things that has kind of gotten lost in this whole thing, is we all know the term OxyContin and oxycodone and all. When these things came out, you know, they were miracle drugs, right? Now, we obviously now know the darker side. And look, this isn't just one segment. I'm using this as an example. But it shows you how Western medicine misses things. We miss the knock-on effects. We're just focused on the treatment of the symptom. And that extends, that's culturally. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. And this segment kind of came out of a conversation I was having with our analyst. And we'll get into that. But okay, but as always, before we get to the interview with Todd Harrison, he's coming up next after the market open. Then we've got a couple other segments about that, the value of value. And then tying that into how we can get it wrong. And then also a little bit on the whole treatment of symptoms and how this all ties in culturally, how we see it across the entire cultural spectrum. So without further ado, though, market update. Okay. Again, you guys know we're filming this show right now. It's about 11:45 on Friday. Currently, the Dow's down 521. The S&P is at 2598. Now, the S&P is what we're watching. For those of you that don't know, I'm assuming a lot of you do. Whenever we say, how's the market doing? And I hear this happen all the time, right? How's the market doing? 25,000, 24,000, 27,000. Everybody refers to the Dow Jones, okay? Quick little thing. Dow Jones is a composite of 30 of the largest stocks in the country, okay? All U.S.-based stuff. And tilted toward the industrial side, but it's 30 stocks. The S&P 500, when we really want to know how the market's doing, we need to look at the S&P 500 because it's 500 stocks, right? And so it gives us a much broader view, a much more holistic view of what's really going on in the markets. And right now, we got the S&P at 2597. 2600 is sort of a 38th parallel for this market, guys. I'm not a huge technical guy. I've said this on the show before. I believe technicals help us to know when to buy and sell. I think they can be a tool in that process. I don't think they're a guide to what we buy and sell. Okay? And there's a lot of trend following programs out there. There's a lot of people that really believe in it. I think it's important for you to know, coming from a guy that's been through several different markets and has had these markets shift, the trends are wonderful to play until they're not, until they break, okay? And there's a reason that the greatest investors in the world have used technical analysis as a tool, but not as an investment thesis, okay? Meaning it's something they consider. It does not determine what they do. It's a tool in their tool belt, okay? But looking at the technical analysis side, we have been stuck in this trading range between 2600 and 2930 on the upper bound. When we consider, now this goes right back to a conversation we started about four weeks ago. And then going back to a previous conversation we started about 4 months ago, when we said, look, we don't like this. This is a time you need to execute caution. And why did we say that? We're not market timers. You guys know, listen to the show. We're not trying to predict which ways markets go. But when we are 10 years into a bull market with record high valuations and almost the longest economic expansion on history and deficits blowing out and on and on and on. China slowing down, European problems. When we're in this type of scenario or environment, we need to be gathering as many data points as possible, because we're not saying if the S&P goes below 2600 that the world's going to fall apart. We're not saying you need to just blow everything out and sell everything and run the other way. What we're saying is, we know we're in an overvalued market. We know we're in the longest bull market of all time. We know we've got too much debt. We know S&P 500 companies in general are 40% more indebted than they were in 2007. We know that housing peaked about 12 months ago. We know that auto sales have peaked. We know all of these things stacking up. And one of the things, usually the last straw to, you know, the last stick to fall, or the last shoe to fall, or the last shoe to drop, usually it's in the technical analysis. And so those are things we're watching really closely right now. And we need to be aware of what's going on. And this market is damaged. And look, I wish we'd have been more aggressive over the last 3 years. And we've done fine. It's never good enough. But I wish we'd have been more aggressive. Right? But if you weren't, then you know what? Take it as a win. Okay? Take it as a win. You were right. Markets kept going up. But now's a great time to revisit it. We got a market that fundamentally has way, way overrun itself. It's way out over its skis. And now it's technically damaged with unbelievable geopolitical risks. Here's the other one, guys. We're kind of getting off the normal beaten path of what the market update is, but there's just a lot of things to be concerned. The other thing is look, whether you like him or not, Donald Trump and his policies, not his tweets, I wish he'd put the phone down, and certainly not his moral compass. I think that's always been questionable. I really don't understand the outrage, because none of this stuff is really news to me. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got so many of these people who are willing to look the other way from moral failures of all other politicians, and now they expect Donald Trump to be a choir boy. But I don't want to get into that. What I'm saying is, Trump's in trouble. Now, I'm not saying this is the end. I think a lot of it is hyperbolic. But regardless of that, Trump's in trouble. And his policies, they're in trouble too. Because the more in trouble he gets, this is just politicians. Rats leaving a ship, right? No one's going to stand up and back his policies. Especially if this stuff gets worse. So, as much when he came in, the stars were aligned. We saw the immediate pickup of economic growth. Again, you know, regardless whether you like him or not, the economy responded. So if you're one of those people out there sitting there going, oh, well, the economy was already good, blah, 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 it's just not factually correct. His policies were a wind at the economy's back, no question about it. But, you know, that has been sort of the defining characteristic between the United States economy and market in general and the rest of the world. Now that's in danger. All right? And I know the message you're getting from other advisors out there. I know it. All of our clients, which we've been inundated. So thank you guys so much. Really, really appreciate and value the trust that you've placed in us. I mean, we've just experienced unprecedented growth and it just keeps going nuts. But I know the message you're getting from other financial advisors. We ride it up and down. Just stick with it. Ins and outs, blah, blah, blah. You know what? All that's for the birds. If you believe that, look at the last 20 years. Again, we've spoke about this till we're blue in the face. Those things haven't played out. And what we are firm believers in, we're not trying to time markets, but we very much believe there's a time to be more exposed to risk, less exposed to risk. If nothing else, like I say all the time on the show, let this serve as a wake-up call. Markets don't grow to the sky. And when you look at the overvalued and the over-indebtedness situation and the artificially low rates and central banks pulling back on liquidity and auto sales peaking and home sales peaking. What does it say? Does it say we go run and hide? No. What it says is we have to manage our risk. What it says is we should have no more exposed to assets. I think I just accidentally, we might have to, we don't have to bleep it out, right? It was a misprint. It was a misspeak. Again, you have to forgive us a little bit. We have been going nonstop, just this flood of clients, I think, that are concerned about what's going on. And we've just been pedal to the metal working, 17-hour, 16-hour days, a little bit frazzled. Anyway, when you look at the universe, guys, it's not one thing. Okay. Now is the time for risk prevention. Now is the time for risk management. If you are not having these conversations, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. And remember, what we're always talking about, it's not all or nothing, right? Last year, our risk-managed portfolios did phenomenal. But it's just because we're thinking outside the box. We're concentrating on minimizing risk, maximizing upside, and lowering cost. Just think about that. If we do, like with so many of our clients, if you go from 1.5% annual management fees to 0.5%, congratulations, you just increased your annual returns by 1% a year, no matter what happens, right? And that extends, more importantly, over to bonds and the currently low-rate interest rates, or the low-interest rate environment that we're living in. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Now is the time. And look, maybe it's just a 15-minute phone call, right? What are you guys doing? How you doing? We're not going to twist arms. There's no, funny business, for lack of a better term. There's no sales technique, but we're passionate about what we do because we've got answers. We've got ways to protect clients and give them more upside exposure. So if we're wrong, I was telling this to a client the other night. She goes, "What happens if you're wrong?" I go, "If you're wrong, your portfolio will do substantially better than it's done before." And she goes, "Well, how do you know that?" And I just pulled her out the performance, said, "Here you go." Right? There it is. Just facts. No opinions. Just facts. But if we're right, regardless of what happens in the market, you're going to be fine. And that's what a financial plan is. It's something that works regardless of what occurs. And I guarantee that all of us could use more of that in our investment plans. That all of us could use that approach, especially watching these gut-wrenching days of these giant swings. So anyway, got to get on to the rest of the show. We got the interview with Todd Harrison coming up. But just as a quick recap, guys, it's the same as always. Go back and listen to previous shows. We may bounce here. Right now, the S&P looks like it's trying to come back a little bit. It's back above 2,600, just very slightly. But if we close below 2,600, that's big technical damage. Okay? So while you're listening to the show, you know what we closed before or what we closed at. I don't. But we got to pay attention to that because that's really the last leg of this thing that's still standing. And we got to err on the side of caution. We've got to be okay regardless of what happens. And for those of you out there who go, "Well, what's the maximum we could do? Could the market pull back 30%? I can live through that." Guys, we don't know. I mean, from 1929 to 1932, the market dropped 85% top to bottom. Am I saying that's going to happen again? No, but when you hear people out there saying, "Oh, that can't happen again because of this," just walk the other way. Anything can happen, and over a long enough time period, timeline will happen. Do we have the ingredients for some type of catastrophic drop like that? Yeah, we do. The interesting thing about it is we've also got the setup for really bad inflation, right? So regardless of which way you think that's going, we've got portfolios that are designed to handle both at the same time while lowering your fees and increasing your upside. It's not snake oil. Dory wouldn't be a client. Wouldn't be sponsoring us if it was. I wouldn't still be on the radio if it was snake oil. Educate yourselves. Anyway, we got to go. Got to get to the interview with Todd Harrison. I hope you guys enjoy it. And then after that, we'll come back with some closing thoughts and kind of tie things up. But yeah, we're watching markets at this point. Gold continues to hang in there, which is kind of strange. But that's about it. Just a lot of technical damage. Got to watch these technical levels. And guys, we got to manage our risk. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Get the free white paper by Roger Ibbotson. Sign up for the newsletter, all that stuff. Get the free booklet. And if you don't want to call us, you can email us directly and we can just do the consultation over email. So anyway, got to get going. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, these new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. But most importantly, it's about having a plan. All your children have to do is carry out your wishes, and you're not a burden on them. That's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian's asset-based class is coming up Monday, January 28th in Bellevue. This class is aimed at individuals and couples who have accumulated close to or more than $1 million in assets and may be considering to self-fund long-term care costs in the future. Learn why that's not the best idea. Seating will be limited for this special asset-based class, January 28th in Bellevue. Reserve your spot right now, 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. Without further ado, want to get to our main interview here. We got a special guest, been kind enough to join us on the show, Todd Harrison, the Chief Investment Officer of CB1 Capital Management, which is a wellness and medical marijuana hedge fund. And first of all, Todd, thanks for joining us. And for those of you that don't know, from my perspective, outside in, first of all, you can see some of Todd's interviews. Great information on Real Vision. We've talked about Real Vision on the show. We've had Raul Paul on here, and you guys all know about that. But from the outside looking in, Todd, from a guy that isn't currently invested in the space at all, I think you've kind of emerged as an expert, and you guys are doing really exciting things. And just wanted to get out the efficacy story of cannabis, the way it's being used, the potential. Wanted to hear what you guys are doing, and just wanted you to educate us and the listeners about the space, the possibilities, the directions it's going. So without further ado, you know, welcome to the show. And if you could start, just kind of give it a snout line of how you guys got started and what you're looking at, where you're headed, and then kind of a brief history of the space in general, because I know you know this stuff like no one else.
Well, thanks, Zach. I think to understand where we are, to appreciate how we got here, you know, cannabis has had a relationship with humanity for the past 30,000 years. If you go back and you do the work as we have, you see that this is very much it's been a very symbiotic relationship throughout different cultures, throughout history, mostly through the lens of health and wellness and being used as medicine throughout different societies. And as a matter of fact, in the United States, the American Medical Association American Medical Association recognized cannabis as a potential solution for a number of different indications, and it was widely accepted throughout society. What happened was in the 20s, as the Mexican Revolution took hold, and there were a lot of Mexican immigrants crossing over the border into El Paso, the U.S. government needed a way to stem the migration, the immigration, and they outlawed marijuana. The AMA didn't know that marijuana was in fact cannabis at the time, but it all sort of got swept under the rug. So, in the context of history, the last 90 years of prohibition have been very much the exception. What's unfortunately suffered is the ability to research this wonderful plant for the medical efficacy and the different solutions that we think from a wellness perspective are really going to change the face of Western medicine. So that part's very exciting.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that interests me so much is and I full disclosure. So I was an athlete growing up, pretty rigid about, you know, what I took into my body. And I was raised in an anti-marijuana house. I mean, it was like the apex of what you could do wrong, right? And so as I've looked at this and seen this starting to develop and read your work's opened my eyes a lot to it as well. We've kind of got a disconnect. And if you could just talk about this a little bit, we've got this disconnect between the prohibition that you spoke about over the last 90 years, the reefer madness symptom is what I'm starting to refer to it as. There's this giant disconnect and this misunderstanding that happened. Can you speak to how that happened? Why did it become public enemy number one? I mean, it's not number one. That might be a little hyperbolic, but where did this jump off happen? And this split, right? Because you said it's been recognized as, you know, a wellness product, treatment, medicine for millennia. And then all of a sudden we have this split. And then speak to maybe a little overview of where this is going and where, you know, the most exciting things and the developments that you guys are seeing and the possibilities.
Well, I think the jumping off point, again, it was an immigration. It was weaponized as an immigration tool. You know, much like at the turn of the century, there was an effort to stem Chinese immigration into San Francisco and which is largely behind the opium laws at the turn of the century. Marijuana was weaponized as well as a way to stop the immigration in the Texas border. I mean, this is all a matter of public record. This is not interpretation. At the time, there were very few people who were controlling the media, right? The Hearst family, and there were a handful of families that really sort of controlled public opinion, and maybe this was also sort of steered clear of commerce for some business interests at the time. But, you know, all of that aside, you know, the truth of the matter is we now understand a lot more about the science, and this is where the offsides just becomes mind-blowing, at least for us, is that this is something that's actually very good for you. And if you look at I'll take a step back in terms of how we found this to be the case and talk to the scientists who have been doing the work. Effectively, the backstory is, at least as it was portrayed to us, is that the last 100 years we've gone from hunters and gatherers to desk jobs, and we've gone from eating organic foods to processed foods and trans fats, and certainly your lifestyle and your heredity plays a role. But over the course of time, the tone of your endocannabinoid system changes. Your endocannabinoid system regulates neurotransmissions. This is a system that was just discovered in 1990, give or take. So all relatively new and not something that Western medicine has really studied much about. You know, the real twist here is that the cannabinoids found in cannabis are identical in action to the endocannabinoids that our body naturally produces. So our body is already hardwired for this. And the ability now to look at the cannabinoids and the various compounds in the cannabis plant and separate them, we're yielding just terrific, understanding of sort of, as we term it, efficacious agility. The epilepsy, the first plant-based medicine was approved by the FDA this summer. is purified CBD. CBD is one of the compounds in cannabis, but it's reducing epileptic seizures in children by 40-50%. In some cases, it's stopping them altogether. And these are children with refractory symptoms, 300 seizures a day, some of them, and now are seizure-free, or as their parents term it, they've got their smile back, right?
Wow.
So like we look at this and say, wow, this is really impact investing. This is really helping people. The mind-blowing part of this all is for all of the wonderful things this is doing for in the field of childhood epilepsy, only 4% of treatment is frontline treatment. Only 4% of patients look at cannabis as the first option. It's usually the last. And that's in large part due to how we've been programmed to society to believe that this is something that's bad for us. So we're just now scratching the surface of understanding the science behind this plant.
And one of the things, now... Full disclosure, about probably 90 to 95% of what I know is from following you on Twitter and listening to your Real Vision videos. So forgive me if we're having to go over the same stuff. But all that stuff, I think that stuff's incredibly mind-blowing, and the potential, that's huge. I want to look at something that's hitting a little closer to home these days. What kind of role could this play in handling or dealing with the opioid crisis, and is that a fair thing to look at? Because I find myself looking around at this whole opioid crisis, and I think you and I both understand that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, economic factors in play and cultural factors in play in the opioid crisis. But what kind of role, if any, do you see marijuana playing, you know, to this crisis and managing this crisis and impacts it could make there?
You know, one of the few studies that's been allowed to sort of progress is just the apples to apples comparison of of the impact of opioid related deaths in cannabis friendly states, and I believe the number is about 25% less deaths from opioid related situations in states with friendly cannabis laws. 25%, one in four people are surviving because of an alternative treatment. And again, that's just, pain, certainly anxiety, stress, nausea, some of these things, appetite, are intuitive when you think about cannabis. But, you know, we're talking about really, extending that sphere and looking at things like autism and cancer and Alzheimer's. And things that have really evaded traditional Western medical approaches. And if you really understand the science, and it's a lot more than we can talk about on a radio segment, but certainly encourage people to as we term it, enter this rabbit hole for the intellectually curious and start to really research this. The opportunities that this opens up through the lens of health and wellness are really somewhat profound.
Yeah. Okay. Now, on the cancer side of it, and again, you know, full disclosure, I'm having you on because you're the expert about this. I am certainly not. I just know some ancillary stuff, things I've picked up here and there. I understand there's incredible leaps going on the cancer treatment side of it. Now, I have some personal experience with this. Had some family members, actually two grandfathers, go through cancer that ended up taking both their lives. And going through that process, speaking to doctors, the doctors themselves were saying that one of the best ways that they know how to keep patients healthy and survive the treatment process, right? Because most cancer patients die via the treatment of the cancer as opposed to the cancer itself. You know, this was several years ago, and they were saying that, you know, the effect that cannabis has on it is immeasurable. It's night and day different. What are the ways that it's actually where they're branching out, where they're actually treating cancer, that they're seeing progress? I know there's incredible strides being made on that side of it. And obviously, again, probably too much to delve into the deep side of the science on a radio show, but can you kind of give us an overview of some of the breakthroughs that are happening on the cancer treatment side?
Well, the most obvious from our standpoint is the trials that GW Pharmaceutical is conducting, and we have a position in this stock, and most people interpret them as an epilepsy platform. They're the company that has Epidiolex, which is the purified CBD, but they've been around for 20 years. They have done a lot of research, have a lot of patents, and one study that we are particularly intrigued by is their brain cancer study. They had their phase two results in February of 2017. So this is a full year ago plus already. And they couldn't release secondary endpoints, which is overall survival, because, quote, too many people were still surviving. And that was, again, February of 2017. It's almost 2019. And they still haven't released that data because presumably too many people are still surviving. And their new chief medical officer they brought in last year did his doctoral thesis in brain cancer. So, you know, again, we're just paying attention, but we think that the strides that are about to come through the clinical pathway, which is how they're going to have to come through for Western medicine to pay attention and for consumers to trust this medicine, but that's all coming through the pipe. I mean, we see about 85 trials, clinical and preclinical, and they're all very exciting. These things just take some time.
Right, right. Well, one of the things that I found so intriguing about this is you mentioned Western medicine, and I'm one of these guys that's had a big issue with Western medicine for quite some time. You know, just the whole treatment of symptoms, not causes, all that kind of stuff. And the willingness to just dole out chemicals, right, and pharmaceutical products right and left. And the pushback on marijuana, you know, as treatment, as a medical solution is interesting to me because here you've got this naturally occurring plant, right, that doesn't take any chemical synthesis. Now, for other applications, I understand that there's, you know, stuff going on, but or stuff that needs to happen as far as, you know, engineering the drug, you know, even if it's cannabis-based. But you've got this natural occurring plant, and people are looking at it with skepticism, literally as they're popping a pill, right, in their mouth that's a derivative of heroin, or, you know, all these different chemicals and all these different things that you know, Ambien and the sleep medication, all this stuff, with really no understanding of what the long-term implications of this stuff are. Well, I mean, we're seeing it obviously on the opioid side and to devastating consequences. But how broad do you think that this can go in terms of what it can treat? And then how big is the current pushback, right? I know that the Pfizers, and I'm not trying to pick anybody out, but I know that the Pfizers and the Mercks of the world, you know, there's a real conflict of interest, right? Because if they come up with real cures and real treatments, they no longer have clients. How big of a barrier is that big pharma, you know, lobby, for lack of a better term? You know, what kind of pushback are you seeing? Are they embracing it? Or is this Western medicine, as we refer to it, is it a block in the way of developments at this point?
Well, I think the best way to look at it is to, you know, really bifurcate it into two buckets, right? So we look at, on the one side, the consumer side really is the nutraceuticals, the beverages, the consumer packaged goods. I think where people get a little lost sometimes, particularly people who aren't familiar with cannabis, is they tend to think of cannabis about, you know, as an end product that somebody's smoking, when in reality, cannabis is really an ingredient, right, that's going to go into beverages, and it's going to go into food, and you're going to rub it on, and you're going to take bubble baths, and it's going to be ubiquitous in terms of its applications and its end products, right? And that's going to be a pretty big tale. And that's continuing state by state right now. And you know, and it's really, again, from a society, through a societal lens, you got tax revenue, you got job growth, you got less clogged prison populations and courts, crime rates. So there's a lot of benefits to society. But the follow the money probably is the reason why this will continue helping with state budget deficits. On the other side, the medical side, the more clinical biotech pathway, I think you'll see a buy build start to progress. It is a disruptive, you know, it is going to be very disruptive to healthcare, in our opinion. So there will be a fair amount of buy build. We've seen that already in spirits with Constellation Brands. We've seen it with tobacco now, with Philip Morris, or Altria, as the case may be, and we'll see it with healthcare before too long, and consumer packaged goods, for that matter. Again, you know, this is not about getting high, as we've trademarked. This is about getting well. And when people understand that, of all the different cannabinoids found in cannabis, you know, there's very few of them that are actually going to get you high, but they're all therapeutic in their own way, and that's the part that's exciting to find. We're going to find out a lot more about as research comes online and is, again, legal to do.
Okay, now, then as it relates to taking the scope out, I want people to understand how big of an opportunity this is, and I think there's a lot of ignorance there. I think I heard about this from you, actually, in an interview you did with Jesse Felder, where we were talking about how the Olympic, I believe, well, I think Jesse was referring to this, but he talked about the Olympic training facility that's in Bend, Oregon, how a lot of these Olympic athletes are now training, and while they're working out or after they're working out, again, I don't know the procedures behind it, but they're actually drinking cannabis or cannabinoid-infused water. I know that people are giving cannabinoid supplements, which, by the way, don't get you high, right? There's no psychedelic effects, to children that don't have seizures. What is that story? What is it that you think, you know, because it sounds to me like at some point we might all be taking some type of, you know, cannabinoid supplement. It might become part of our regular vitamin regimen. What is the benefit from that? Why are Olympic athletes training with this? Why are kids giving it to, or why are people giving it to their children that don't have epilepsy or seizures or anything like that? If you could kind of explain that a little.
Well, again, you know, you know, people tend to think of cannabis as sort of like throwing spaghetti against the wall. And I'm, you know, what we're talking about is actually taking the strands off the wall and looking at and examining what they are. And as I alluded to, most of the cannabinoids found in cannabis are not going to produce that feeling of euphoria. You know, CBD, as you're talking about, I believe, is a cannabinoid that doesn't get you high, but it is, you know, it's an antipsychotic. So it relaxes you. It's, you know, if you recall from earth science to the concept of homeostasis, right, your body's ability to sort of, you know, be in a natural state and wellness. And that's what this does. This regulates neurotransmission. So CBD is a neuroprotectant, among other things. Again, you ought to be careful with what kind of claims you're making without any sort of clinical backdrop. You know, all they are is claims. But suffice to say that there's enough supportive evidence to suggest that this is really something that's really transformational in terms of health and wellness and what it can do for the human body. Not just human bodies, for that matter. I give my dogs CBD. It relaxes them. You know, it's anything with a vertebrae has an endocannabinoid system, and this really helps to regulate those neurotransmissions. Like I said, this is not about getting high. This is very much about getting well, and we're at the front end of understanding the science that's going to drive the awareness and really, I think, catch a lot of people off sides that have sort of, you know, been programmed to believe that this is a gateway drug, when in reality, this is, you know, as close to God's medicine, I think, as any of us are ever going to see.
Yeah, well, and the gateway drug, again, you know, I used to make that argument. And then one of the things I had to come around to is, you know, is it a gateway drug inherently? Now, and this might ruffle some feathers out there, and that's totally fine. But is it a gateway drug inherently, or is it a gateway drug or considered a gateway drug because it was illegal? Meaning that, you know, if we're going to get involved with something that's illegal, we've got to be dealing with people that are willing to operate outside the law, right? I feel like marijuana has become the fall guy for societal issues and you know, just the fact that it's illegal sucks you into this world. And like you said, we're already seeing the results of this in states that have legalized medical marijuana, even some of the results we've seen on the recreational side. And a lot of those questions need to get revisited. And for those of you just joining us, we don't have too much time left, but we're being joined by Todd Harrison, the Chief Investment Officer of CB1 Capital Management. And so if you can speak to now kind of an overview, I don't want to soak up all the time. I want to hear you talking, but kind of an overview. What is the most exciting thing that you guys are seeing? What is the thing that you've seen recently or throughout this process? Because now, for a little bit of backdrop, too, and I probably should have said this earlier on in the segment, you've been involved in the finance industry your entire career, and you've pivoted. This is all you're doing right now, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. So what is the most, what is there one thing in particular? We've covered a lot of these different things. Is there one thing in particular that's really blown your guys' mind that you can direct people to go look at, right, and change their outlook, the most exciting development you guys are seeing?
I would say that, you know, it's as we've done our research on the studies on the endocannabinoid system and just the breadth of different indications that this touches, At our website at cb1cap.com, this is all free. But we've built a research repository with all of the studies that have been done through the years, or many of the studies, I should say, and really breaking them down by indication in different ailments. And I believe there's about 30, 35 different indications of study that are really fascinating to us. I mean, we just think the breadth of wellness that this can touch and will touch is just profound. So, yeah, it's exciting. There's a lot of there's a lot of research that's been done, but until it goes through the clinical trials, nobody's going to really believe it for sure. But the evidence is mounting.
Now, one more question. Well, I've got you here. Some personal experience I've had with this. So, I've got a family member of mine who's battled insomnia in a really intense way for pretty much their entire adulthood. And they started using some combination of, again, forgive my lack of understanding or my lack of knowledge on this subject, but some type of cannabinoid-based oil. No psychedelic effects, but form of the oil, an extract of some kind. They are currently, I think it happened over the space of about a month and a half, they are currently off of all prescription medication for sleeping. They're getting better sleep quality than they ever have. Again, I don't know enough of the science, hence asking you to be on. Is that a one-off, or as it relates to insomnia, is this a common story? Are we seeing a lot of this just in the treatment of insomnia, or is this a one-off story?
No, certainly. You know, again, you have to be careful with the claims that are being made. You'll see the FDA come down pretty hard against anybody that's making claims, because that's the domain of the FDA, and that's sort of the difference between, as we use the analogy in-house, between vitamins and supplements. You'll see a bifurcation between what can be claimed and what it's being used for. But certainly insomnia is a condition. And it's not so much even CBD. There are some minor cannabinoids like CBN that speak to this condition and just a disruption. But all of that stuff's going to come through with time. But for my money, personal experience, I'll tell you, having been through a number of different things in a Western medicine protocol of prescription medications that I'm no longer taking because I take CBD and I feel pretty great about it. So it's not just, it's not a cure-all by any stretch, but it's also not, one of those urban myths. This is going to be something that's very good for society, and I think it's going to help society remove themselves from the dependence of a lot of pharmaceutical drugs that are currently out there right now.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a cause in and of itself that we can all get behind and all support. And now, Todd, you mentioned your guys' website, so I want to say don't want to mess it up. CB1CapitalManagement.com, or is it just CB1.com?
CB1Cap.com.
Okay, CB1Cap.com. You've got the research room. Where can we go? Where is a good resource where we can start? I mean, obviously, your website would be a great place to start. Where else can you point me and the listeners to start educating ourselves? Because I think that's the beginning. You're doing a phenomenal job of it. You've turned me around and gotten me really interested and excited of what's going on. Where can we begin that search? And where are places we can go that you think are putting out good information where we can trust what we're reading and get educated on it?
That's a tough question. there's really not that many people that are framing this for what it is right now. Certainly we try, it depends if you're on social media, there's a few people. But I think the takeaway is really to have an open mind and just do the work and, explore. This is something that is just now, last semester, I believe, of last year, was the first time this started to get listed as curricula in secondary schools, medical schools.
Wow.
When we talk to, doctors and big pharma analysts about our findings with the science, most of them look at us like, we have four heads. I mean, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
The endocannabinoid system is a big deal, and it's new science. And the technology, and what we found, despite it being illegal to research, we're finding all of these things. We have an FDA-approved drug that's given to children to stop them from seizing.
Wow.
All while illegal to research still, which is quite mind-boggling. So think about what we'll find when there's actually support from the governments. And I think governments all over the world are waking up to this. It's not just a U.S. phenomena. You're seeing it emerge globally. Continually, and it's exciting. These horses aren't going back in the barn, so to speak.
Well, yeah, and I mean, from what I've seen and listening to you and reading your work, I don't think any of us want those horses to go back in the barn, and I think it's a really fascinating, really exciting time. And so as a recap, I want to make sure everybody knows, so it's cb1cap.com is Todd's website. Where else can we find some of your work other than do we have any other resources? You got great stuff on Real Vision. Some of your you've done your interview with Jesse Felder.
All that's on the website. I'm on Twitter as much as time allows. Because there's a lot of hucksters out there, so we're trying to just stay true to what this is, and it's a wellness. For us it's. We're doing good work here because this is about to when the world understands what this is, aside from being particularly angry that government sat on it for so many years, I think they're going to be quite surprised and quite happy that this is going to touch so many lives in such a positive way. Because regardless of your political beliefs, if somebody that we love is suffering, you want the best care with the least amount of side effects.
Yes.
As quickly as possible. And this is that, right? The side effect profile here is de minimis, and the efficacious agility that I think we're going to see in the years to come is going to shock people. So that's all very exciting, and this is all good stuff, and I appreciate the time to share the thoughts with you today.
Yeah, you bet, Todd. And if you could use us, any breakthroughs you want to discuss, we're not the biggest radio show out there going, but we'll be happy to be a place for you to get the story out, because I'm a big fan of your work. It's really opened my eyes up, and I would urge everybody else, they can follow you at Todd Harrison with two D's on Twitter, correct? That's the handle.
Yep, that's it. I think there's an underscore in there somewhere.
Okay, yeah. So, and then cb1cap.com. I would urge everybody to go there. Get yourself educated like I have. And Todd, from me to you, really appreciate your work. I think it's really exciting and really important, and encourage you guys to keep it up. And we'll be watching and listening. And like I said, if we have any breakthroughs and you want to get it out through an avenue or through a medium, we'd be happy to be that loudspeaker for you. So, yeah, cheering you on, great stuff, and can't thank you enough for coming on and joining us today.
I appreciate your time. You all take care.
All right, take care, Todd. All right, we're going to be right back. Got a little bit more show for you. Hope you guys enjoyed the interview, and thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. That's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do, to find out about all the different plans they offer, like the plan we got that'll pay my estate back if we never use it. Brian does have a few classes coming up in January. Seating will be limited, so reserve your spot right now at 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show, and hope you enjoyed that conversation with Todd Harrison. The reason we had him on is he's really the most knowledgeable guy in the space as it relates to the investment side. of the medical marijuana industry, for lack of a better term, and the developments there. And there's a lot of education. Like I said in my interview with Todd, I understand the people that are anti-marijuana. I was one of them. Still am on a recreational basis. I don't think it's as damaging as I once did. I think there are pitfalls, though. I certainly think that the science backs up the fact that nobody under the age of 25 should do it, period, because it can really inhibit brain development. But when we look at the amount of chemicals that we're ingesting, and we're going to tie this all up, we went a little over in the interview, so we got to shorten things up here. This will be our final segment, so we're going to try to condense it all down into one little bit for you here. But, you know, this goes into that whole treating the symptoms things, right, that I was talking about in the market update, which is, as a culture, when you look at social media, when you look at the economy, when you look at the stock market, when you look at the financial institutions, when you look at medicine, at some point, and look, this has been happening throughout human history, and it's sort of a flaw of human beings, but at some point, we as a culture completely pivoted away from the idea of resolution and fixes. We want, first of all, we want everything right now, right, in pill form. And we're not interested in dealing with, we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and we want to be able to have something that mutes the consequences. And like I said, that's fed right into the financial markets. What do you think quantitative easing is? I mean, think about this. We all know this inherently, right? What do we constantly say? We read the self-help books. And my college coach at Pacific Lutheran University, Frosty Westering, was huge with this, which was, no. Be unlike everybody else out there. Don't look at the outcome. Focus on the inputs. Because if you've got the right inputs, if the right stuff is going in, and we've seen this in our own business, if you're doing the right things, the outcome's going to take care of itself. But now look at central bank policy in the world. Right? Those geniuses sat back and said, look, during periods of economic booms or during periods of good economic times, prices are higher. So why don't we engage in activities that are targeted at raising prices, and then the economy will get better? Think about, and everybody's like, well, it's a grand experiment. Will it work? Of course it's not going to work. We know this. It's like gravity. You can engineer outcomes all you want. It's not going to fix a problem. It's going to mask it. And typically what happens in that process of masking is the problem metastasizes. It spreads. It gets bigger and nastier. And if you don't believe that, just go look at what our country's national debt, and for that matter, every country's national debt, has done over the last 10 years. From trying to fix a debt problem in 2008 and 2009 with more debt and higher prices. Meanwhile, I think it's done incredible cultural damage. Because we're engineering higher prices, we're engineering prosperity without any of the stuff that's needed to go into it. Without the discipline, without the saving, without the investment, without the productivity. Central banks are looking at us saying you can get your cake and eat it too. But as adults, we should all know that. Goes right along the same type of logic. If we ignore that logic, we're just like the people talking about free school, free college. I mean, come on. Free? What are you, five? There's no free lunch. And especially us on the more conservative side of things, which has got to be the vast majority of people listening to this show right now, we know better. And this ties right back into what we're talking about risk management. Do you think we can keep racking up these deficits? Or is it a matter of time? Do you secretly know it's a matter of time, but maybe greed's getting in there a little bit and you're like, I don't want to miss out on the next upturn? If so, and if you don't know what your maximum risk exposure is, and you don't know if you'd be okay if we had a catastrophic market drop, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Email us, get the free booklet. Educate yourselves, people. Now is the time. It's not looking good. And if we're wrong, you'll do better with lower fees. So give us a call.
go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Sign up for the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast. So if you miss the show, you can hear the most scintillating hour of finance radio whenever you want to. Anyway, as always, we run out of time. I've overrun every time barrier. Big surprise. Anyway, have a great weekend. Go Seahawks. I don't think we have anything else to cheer for. Anyway, go Hawks. Have a great weekend. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. It's Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.